You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
And it's a very good morning to each and every one of you. It is Thursday. Welcome to today's breakfast show. It is the 21st of September. I'm Jerry D, going to be sitting here entertaining you going right through until 10 o'clock this morning. So just sit back and relax and enjoy the ride. Birthdays, I tell you, we've got a biggie birthday. We've got a long one, which I'm going to save that for a little bit later. For now, a couple of short ones. H.G. Wells, he was born on this day. We're going to go back to the year 1866. He was an English author, of course, whose novels include The Time Machine, The Island of Dr. Moreau, The Invisible Man, War of the Worlds, and First Men in the Moon. Second one is Sir Alan Lane, slightly familiar. It was born on this day in 1902. As I say, quite similar. British publisher. If it wasn't for publishers, H.G. Wells wouldn't have been able to do his books, would he? He founded Penguin Books, bringing high-quality paperback fiction and non-fiction to the mass market.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Good morning.
Good morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
There we go. That's the weekend with Blinding Lights. There you are. Got everything here, haven't we? Lights, camera, action. We're 6 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. Happy to say that Dr. Computer, he's back, he's around, so all being well, he's going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour today. We've also got a guest coming in the last hour of this morning's program. And on top of that, we started the last hour of yesterday's program. We had Gabriel with us from Pedro Mandinga Rum, and he gave us a voucher. We got a $100 voucher for the Pedro Mandinga bar in Via Argentina. And we gave a question yesterday. We didn't get a winner while he was here, so we're going to be doing that again in this hour of this morning's program. I'll give you a chance, those of you that are sort of getting in or in your cars, making your way to work, and you've got a friend with you who can answer the phone, give us a call. There's a chance you could win that $100 voucher to spend at the Pedro Mandinga bar. You can have some fun with your friends with that one, can't you? There we go, No Mercy and Where Do You Go? That is the DJ Helmand remix on that one. This is going to take us to our shower song for this morning. Comes from Rochford, and also NYNC is on here as well. It's called the Ride the Storm. That's the Life Goes On radio edit as well. Time on the Breakfast Show. I tell you what, we're just a few seconds away from 15 minutes after the hour of 7. So we are going to do this. You're ready. Get yourself all through stuff. All right. Tomorrow, see if we can do an extra long one, because the weekend, we like to do that, don't we? What have we got for you in the shower this morning? Now that we've found love, what are we going to do with it? that we found love, or what are we going to do with it? Comes from Third World. Out the shower you get. Come on. That's enough. Don't want you turning into a prune, do we? Third World, Jamaican reggae fusion band. They were formed back in 1973, and guess what? They're still going as well. The sound influenced by soul, funk and disco in those days, although it has undergone several lineup changes. So Stephen Catcore and Richard Daly, they've been consistent memories. And their real success came with that one, and that is Now That We've Found Love. It is a cover song. It's originally released by the OJs. So there you are. 19 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock, we're on The Breakfast Show, 89.3. Cool FM. Your time comes from Tara Kemp. Breakfast Show time, 23 minutes. That's after the hour of 7 o'clock. By the way, if you've heard us over the last week or so, advertising for Global Possibility Studies, that's GPS, we've got a guest coming in the last hour this morning. We've got Prithianis Palmer the general director of GPS, coming in to chat with us. So if you're interested in going off and studying in Ireland, make sure you tune in the last hour of this morning's programme. It's going to be around about 9:25, 9:30.
In the prime of my years, I remember you. Living and breathing in some misbelief. But I can't hold you warm, no piece of you. You were the magic, my only believer. My life on the line for you, all that I give to you.
Time is time.
Don't give me no time to waste away.
Barry Gibb on his own there, and time is time, and we know it. And talking of time, we're making our way down to 27 and a half minutes right now, after the hour of 7 o'clock. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be looking at some of the international news for you, and a little bit of business thrown in for good measure. And also, going up between then and 8 o'clock this morning, we're going to be giving that giveaway. We've got a $100 voucher for Pedro Mandinga's Rumba in Beer, Argentina. It's all part of the celebrations for Cool FM's 17th birthday anniversary. So we're going to be doing that. And and very, very generous, Pedro Mandinga, giving us that. We're going to use the same question that we used yesterday. Nobody got it. Nobody got it right. A couple of close, but not quite there. So we're going to be asking that question again, and we'll go right through until somebody actually wins it. If not, I can write my own name on it. I know how to do that. Here on The Breakfast Show, we're going to take that little break.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Have you ever dreamed of studying and working abroad? How does Ireland sound? Don't miss Global Possibility Studies Educational Fair on September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. You'll be able to meet five of the most renowned Irish universities and learn about their bachelor and master degrees. Get to know Ireland's flexible immigration laws, financing opportunities, and how to get your full-time work permit for 2 years after graduation in the Emerald Isle. Don't forget to visit the fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies and find out about all learning opportunities in Ireland.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
La línea 3 del metro elevará el tren de vida de miles de panameños que residen en Panamá Oeste. Pronto será una realidad que contribuirá a un desplazamiento rápido y seguro desde y hacia la ciudad capital.
Estamos muy felices de anunciarles que Mega Producciones ya tiene local, llamado Mundo Kids, ubicado en Atrio Mall Costa del Este, piso 3, donde puedes llevar a tus hijos a divertirse, con show, parque, personajes y también puedes realizar fiestas de cumpleaños. Contáctalos, mundokidspty01@gmail.com, WhatsApp 6317-6563 y su cuenta de Instagram Mundo Kids Panamá 1. Ven y disfruta con nosotros.
And the time is just making our way to 29 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Take a look at some international news for this morning. Russia, well, they launched its biggest missile attack in weeks on Kyiv and across Ukraine, wounding at least 18 people and damaging energy facilities, Ukrainian authorities have reported. Partial power cuts were also reported in five Ukrainian regions, in the west, center, and in the east. Poland is no longer arming Ukraine as it is focusing on building up its own stocks of weapons, the Prime Minister said. Reuters' Justyna Pawlak explored how the Polish government now is being accused of giving in to those on the far right that are tired of the war. Canada this week divulged it had intelligence possibly linking India to the murder of a Sikh leader, the kind of news that usually sparks uproar among allies. Well, not this time. India is being courted by the US and others as an counterweight now to China, and Trudeau's rare attack is putting Western nations in an awkward position. And what's more, it's India. They have suspended visa services for Canadian citizens, with its private provider citing operational reasons. It's come amid an escalating row now over the killing of the Sikh separatist on Canadian soil. From Delhi, this was from Sharana Rishikesh, and Vikas Plani explained what was going on. We think we know, don't we? Canada, moving on from Canada, Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has arrived in China's eastern city of Hangzhou, kicking off his first visit to the Asian nation since 2004. As he makes further strides to end more than a decade of diplomatic isolation amid Western sanctions. country is addressing a climate summit during the United Nations gathering. This is the General Assembly. Criticized big polluters, and United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres said that time was running short thanks to the, quote, naked greed, unquote, of fossil fuel interests. Separately, a new treaty to protect the world's oceans was signed by 67 countries. United States President Joe Biden and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pledged to work together toward an agreement to forge diplomatic relations between Israel and Saudi Arabia. Both leaders signaled a desire to ease strains in their relationship, but Biden also made clear that he was determined to discuss their differences. South Korean President Yoon Suk-yeol said that if Russia helped North Korea enhance its weapons program in return for assistance for its war in Ukraine, it would be a direct provocation. Today, the countries imposed fresh sanctions on individuals and entities in relation to North Korea's arms trade. The Bank of England halted its long run of interest rate increases as the British economy slowed, but it said that it was not taking a recent fall in inflation for granted. A day after a surprise slowing in Britain's fast pace of price growth, the Bank of England's Monetary Policy Committee voted by a narrow margin, 5-4, to keep the bank rate at 5.25%. The Fed's plans for a prolonged period of elevated interest rates could continue, pressuring stocks and bonds. Though some investors doubt that the U.S. Central Bank will stick to its guns. It left interest rates unchanged yesterday, but policymakers bolstered their hawkish stance with a rate increase projected by the end of the year. Toshiba said that a $14 billion tender offer from a private equity firm in Japan, this is Japan Industrial Partners, had ended in a success, a deal which paves the way for the embattled industrial conglomerate to go private. The deal also puts the company in domestic hands after years of battles with overseas activist investors. European shares, they fell on Thursday, tracking overnight losses on Wall Street after the US Federal Reserve signaled higher for longer interest rates, while investors awaited a key policy decision from the Bank of England. The Pan-European Stock 600 index was down 0.6%. That was by 8.08 Greenwich Mean Time today, with travel and leisure stocks shedding 2.1%. Oil prices, they fell on Thursday after posting the largest decline in a month in the previous session, as the U.S. interest rate hike expectations offset the impact of drawdowns in U.S. crude stockpiles. Brent futures for November delivery, they were down 97 cents or 1.04% to $92.56 a barrel. That was by 8.09 Greenwich Mean Time. U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude, WTI, that fell 97 cents or 1.08% to $88.69, the lowest since September the 14th. Both benchmarks had fallen more than $1 in trade earlier on Thursday. So there we go. That's it. There's our little look, some of the international news and a bit of business thrown in for good luck. Have you ever thought about smart investing? You've got to check out Riccio & Associates. They've got over 30 years of experience guiding folks just like you. Start with $5,000. Get control, low costs and total liquidity. Reach out on WhatsApp at 1-954-881-3398 or swing by the website yoinviertobien.com. Your financial future, it's in great hands.
We have the best music from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s and beyond. Join us for the latest news and great interviews. The best place to be in the mornings. The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. Cool FM 89.3.
Everywhere, it's took the time I or paid it any mind. It didn't matter win or lose. Since I met you, things have changed. Cloudy skies are brighter days. Even fate has turned my way. Oh, I know that I would be a fool not to bet it all on you and let the chips fall where they may. Now I ain't the lucky one, I'll always be the lucky one, as long as you are close to me. Like a gambling man who always holds a winning hand, losing just a thought I can't conceive. The world's a better place, one look at you is all it takes, and I surrender away. Now I'm the lucky one, I'll always be the lucky one, since I have you close to me. Brothers take their vows, many times I've wondered how they say those words so easily. Did that happiness hide their loneliness? Were the things I couldn't see? I may never understand what would make a man think he found the one he needs. But I don't question why, I just believe that I from the love that's meant to be. As long as you are close to me. Like a gambling man who always holds a winning hand, losing just a thought I can't conceive. The world's a better place, one look at you is all it takes, and I surrender willingly. Lucky one, since I have you close to me.
Love the voice of Raoul Marlow. There he is, on his own, and a lucky one. We're 19 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, and I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to say good morning to Renee. Also, good morning to Bienvenido. He's just dropped us a little line. So Renee has caught us up to date. By the way, after this one from Renee, what we're going to do is that we're going to do our giveaway. Yes, our giveaway competition. That's a $100 voucher to use at Pedro Mandinga's Rumba in Vera, Argentina. So keep tuned for that one. Anyway, as Renee, that's always interesting, isn't it? Good morning. That was fun listening yesterday to the 60s. Yeah, 1966 was what we were concentrating on. Even though I didn't know many of the songs. never mind. I popped into Marks and Spencer's food market today. They've got their beautiful Marks and Spencer's, that's what I missed, Marks and Spencer's food section. This was after Renee had been to the farmer's market and was pleasantly surprised to see a bunch of Halloween decorations and sweets on display. Not the dogs are doing it, but they're hiding, aren't they? They always get dressed up for Halloween. We have another heatwave coming, apparently, over the next few days. But then it's supposed to start cooling down. Thank goodness. You asked if we could play Fleetwood Mac and Don't Stop. And after this, it's the giveaway, so stay tuned. Make a note of the number 223-5162. Don't Fleetwood Mac and Don't Stop, and that's going for Renee this morning. Right, as I said, make a note of the telephone number, 223-5162. 223-5162. That's Yasmin's phone number here in the studio, 223-5162. Make a note of that, because you're going to need it. Now, yesterday we started off our little competition with Gabrielle from Pedro Mandinga here in the studio, and he gave us a $100 voucher to use in the rum bar at Beer Argentina. All right, so the question we gave yesterday, which nobody got, we're going to continue now and hope that one of you can get it. The first person to call Yasmin on 223-5162, okay? And the question is as follows. The Pedro Mandinga Rum Distillery. All right, yes, they do have to make it somewhere. What we want you to do is tell us where they make it. Where is the Pedro Mandinga Rum Distillery? That's the question. All you got to do is give Yasmin a call, 223-5162. 223-5162. First person to call with the right answer gets a $100 voucher to the Pedro Mandinga Rum Bar in Beer, Argentina.
If you do want me, let me let the show. If you don't want me, don't leave me on down. But if you need me, show me that you love. And when I'm feeling blue and I want to, there's just one thing that you should do. Just give me some kind of sign, girl. Oh, my baby, just show me that you're mine, girl. Show me that you're mine, girl.
Give me some kind of sign. Well, that's appropriate, really, wasn't it? Didn't need to. It looks like we have a winner. Yasmin is on the phone right now, writing down some notes, so we'll take a see who that is. We'll let you know in just a couple of minutes' time. Bienvenido, as I mentioned, also dropped us a little line this morning. Says, good morning, TBS fans. It's TBT. What's TBT? The breakfast time? I don't know. Anyway. Bienvenido, good morning. Hugs to everybody. And Jerry, my request for this morning.
See you later, alligator.
Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. Well, I saw my baby walking with another man today. When I asked her what's the matter, this is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator. Don't
Bill Haley and the Comets, and see you later, alligator, for Bienvenido this morning. And congratulations, Arturo Villarreal. He won that competition. He gets that voucher. Oh, rum and Coca-Cola for you.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, beat it, man, beat it.
Since the Yankee come to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
From Chickachickery to Mona's Isle, native girls all dance and smile. Help soldier celebrate his leave, make every day like New Year's Eve.
Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. In old Trinidad, I also fear the situation is mighty queer. Like the Yankee girl, the native swoon, when she hear der bingle croon. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. On Manzanella Beach, G.I. romance with native peach. All night long make tropic love, next day sit in hot sun and cool off. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana, both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar. Rum and Coca-Cola. Rum and Coca-Cola.
for the Yankee Dollar.
There we go, the Andrews Sisters and rum and Coca-Cola. And again, congratulations to Arturo Villarreal. He's up there in Encumbo. He's got his music academy up there. I know Arturo. He's got an event coming up. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on this morning as well. And Renee over there in Athens, in Greece, she says, yes, I've been there. By the way, it's in La Losaria, is where the distillery is. Same place as where they make the beers, the Rana Dorada. Yes, Renee sent us a picture because I went back to said, yes, you did. And you went there with us. And she just sent a picture of us all there, the four of us at the distillery. So anyway, congratulations to Arturo. Enjoy. Take us up to the top of the hour. We've got a bit of Supertramp for you. Give a little bit.
Here we go.
If you want to keep an eye on the time, we're just coming up for 3 minutes before 8 o'clock.
There's so much that we need to share, so send a smile and show you care. I'll give a little bit.
FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Estamos muy felices de anunciarles que Mega Producciones ya tiene local, llamado Mundo Kids, ubicado en Atrio Mall Costa del Este, piso 3, donde puedes llevar a tus hijos a divertirse, con show, parque, personajes y también puedes realizar fiestas de cumpleaños. Contáctalos, mundokidspty01@gmail.com, WhatsApp 6317-6563 y su cuenta de Instagram Mundo Kids Panamá 1. Ven y disfruta con nosotros.
¿Amas la historia y la cultura? Únete al Museo del Canal y sé parte de un legado que ha trascendido generaciones. Adquiriendo tu membresía al Museo del Canal, haces posible que más niños y jóvenes de diversas comunidades y escuelas de todo el país redescubran su historia. Conviértete en un miembro y sumérgete en la fascinante historia que rodea la construcción del canal. Para más información, museodelcanal.com o al WhatsApp 6576-9335 o visita el Museo del Canal ubicado en Casco Antiguo frente a la Plaza Catedral. Museo del Canal, donde la historia cobra vida.
En la carretera Panamericana se desarrollan frentes de trabajo de la línea 3. Por la seguridad de los conductores, recomendamos respetar las señales de tránsito y manejar con precaución para evitar accidentes.
Do you want to study and work abroad but don't know where? Global Possibility Studies and Education Ireland have the perfect opportunity for you in their educational fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. Get to know everything about their programs, financing opportunities, and interact with the representatives of five of the most renowned universities in Ireland. Come to the fair and learn how to apply to a postgraduate degree with the possibility of obtaining your full-time work permit for 2 years. This September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies.
It's Morning Radio, the Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
No. The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
Good morning, Jerry. Hey, Yaz, how you doing? Oh, what a crispy morning. Yeah, the electricity went off about, 10 o'clock last night. Made going to bed a lot easier, a lot earlier than normal. And so once that shut down, we just kind of had our little flashlights on and said, well, now what are we going to do? We decided not to turn the generator on because it does take a lot of noise. And I thought, it's nighttime. What am I going to do? The only thing that might have a damage might be the refrigerator if we didn't refrigerate, but... So about 4 o'clock in the morning, everything comes on. Every light that was on came on. And it was amazing. You're getting up and you're like, oh my goodness, look at all the lights that are on. I guess I better get up and turn them off. It was a peaceful sleep, though. It was so quiet, pitch black. I was in bed and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. It was so black out, so dark. But the silence was divine, with the exception of the critters that was making noises. Like some of them putty tats. Meow! Yeah, their pretty cats were making noises, and Chelsea would run to the door, like, what's going on? Hey, what's the gossip? What are you talking about? I don't understand. What's going on? Yeah, and then the dog started barking, and then she ran to the door again. She said, what are you guys talking about? What's going on? What's the latest news? Because you know how they, like, they gossip, those dogs. One barks, then down the street, the other one barks, and then that passes down the street. It's kind of like playing telephone with dogs. It's kind of cute. So it's a crisp, cool morning this morning. Getting up, making some coffee, got up late today because, you know, when it's that dark and everything and you get up at 4 to turn everything off, you need to get back to bed and go to sleep. It's been a good sleep. I'm very rested. So back to the work here today. Got a lot of few things to do, changing some web page details and things like that. So I hope you guys are doing okay. Hey, tomorrow is one of those special days for me. It's my favorite day of the week. It's freaky. It's Friday, and it's going to be Freaky Friday Fighting Facts. So until tomorrow, back to you in the studio.
Tail in the air.
And there's one especially for Ingrid this morning. It's the Stray Cats, and it's called the Stray Cat Strut. I think that's probably about the... I think it did quite well, actually, when it came out, but I think that must have been about the only record they made. Good morning. It's nice to welcome back to the Breakfast Show studio Dr. Computer Alex Newton, who's been travelling around a lot. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, Jerry.
Nice to have you back.
Great to be here.
And the rest of you.
Awesome.
So how was it? What have you been doing with yourself?
Well, first of all, I went to San Jose, Costa Rica with our friends at Kaspersky, a cybersecurity company with a lot of experience.
Is it still Russian? Or?
Well, the guy who runs the company is from Russia, but he's one of the nicer Russians. You know, the ones that are not into, like, empire building and dictatorships and things like that.
Okay. So it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because I've been around a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very much so. And being around a long time, it gives them a lot of experience in what's been going on all over the world. And we got a chance to talk to some very, very knowledgeable professionals regarding the status of cybersecurity in Latin America, what the trends are, what the countries most affected are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one listing that I was glad Panama was not in the top 10 was in, you know, the amount of cyber attacks and whatever. But that's not necessarily a reflection of how well we're doing in cybersecurity. It's more like they'll get to us eventually. They're just hitting the bigger targets like Mexico and Colombia and Brazil first, because there's more money to be made there.
And I would imagine they're going for the big companies with a lot of money. And
usually, yes, but you would find that a lot of the times, most of the cyber attacks are not necessarily directed. They're just, you know, spray and pray. You know, see if, you know, if you can affect or try to affect 1,000 companies and one or two just, you know, get affected, then you can make your money back real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
We live in a world now where ransomware groups can sell ransomware as a service. They'll give you a package, they'll allow you to customize it in certain ways and so on, and then you can just unleash it on the world by maybe buying a stolen email list from some shady character and send it out to, I don't know, 10,000 people. Maybe one or two will bite, and
And that's enough.
Yeah. And unfortunately, our legislation hasn't kept up, and our technology has, but the implementation and the education necessary to put it in place has not so much. So one of the big takeaways of the conference was you can do everything like, you know, have good cybersecurity software and antiviruses and firewalls and identity protection and so on. But you also need to work on resiliency, being able to recover from an attack as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if, you know, you get hit for a couple of days or whatever, the loss can be very, very, you know, it can be crippling to a company. I mean, I've seen cases where a company gets their operations shut down for a couple of days and it's millions of dollars. Look at what happened, for example, with the MGM casinos. I mean, Caesar's Palace, I think, was also hit, but they paid the ransom and they got back into operation a couple of days later. But you should be able to recover from these things a lot faster. So you have to try and you know, look at everything that you have technology-wise from a lot of different standpoints and see, and say, well, if this fails, what can I do to get back, you know, to operation?
Well, with the time, I mean, for instance, here in the studio, we're working remotely, so mm-hmm. one of the things that we have to do is be sure that unless it's somebody like Cable and Wireless who is playing with the internet, but if somebody, or if I had a computer go down, let's say it was taken over, mm-hmm. I immediately switch over to the other side, and I've got everything over there that I've got over here. I mean, I know it might be expensive, but couldn't you duplicate your system, which is sort of up and running, and then when you get a ransomware, bang, you chop that off, and you immediately start on the secondary one?
That's a great idea. An even better one is using what's called immutable backups, which is like a one-way thing. You remember Dropboxes in banks that you would go and do night deposits in?
Oh, yeah.
You could put money in, but you couldn't really take the money out. Well, something like that, but for backups. It's a one-way backup. You can always back up some more, back up anytime you want, but you can't really reach the backup to alter it in any way. So that's one, you know, tool that you can have in your tool belt. But you also have to test those backups. You would be surprised how many people have, you know, religiously done daily or weekly or biweekly backups, but then they never test them. I remember a customer that we had in the store that I worked at in the 80s. They would every day, without fail, make a backup of their payroll and their accounting and everything to a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk. Remember
the one that they stapled and
they would staple it with a report. So when they went back to check the backup, all of them were useless because they had never, ever once tested the backup.
Right, right.
So that's one way. The other way is to have something that is either a cold spare, that's, you know, something that's turned off and not costing you money, but available to be turned on at any time and, you know, run whatever it is you need to run. you need to have some sort of resiliency in that regard.
So tell me, when we're talking about ransomware, so mm-hmm. say I have a huge company mm-hmm. and I have all my everything in set up, mm-hmm. all my
your day to day work.
Yeah. How do these people get in to the situation where they can control your information?
They have several methods. The more expensive ones, and usually used by directed, targeted mm-hmm. attacks, mm-hmm. involve what is called in the industry zero-day vulnerabilities. Zero-day means it's just been discovered. Somebody out there working to break or try to break into systems finds a flaw in the code somewhere. And this is being made a little bit easier now that we have artificial intelligence.
I was going to say that then you can run that and it'll find any faults on it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But you can also run it to find any faults and fix them. Somebody finds a fault and it takes maybe hours, maybe days for a fix to come out. And unfortunately, a system that is vulnerable in such a way and doesn't have additional layers of protection that can spot these attempts at using a vulnerability will be broken into, and then the attacker will either find information that they find to be valuable and then encrypt it and delete the original or overwrite the original in a way that you can't get it back, and then send you an email or just leave a message saying if you want your data back, this is what you have to do. Usually involves, you know, sending money, using some form of untraceable cryptocurrency or whatever, and they'll give you a decryption tool that might give you your data back. The problem is, not always will the ransom letter be legitimate in the sense that maybe they just corrupted your data and not encrypted your data, and you're going to send money for no reason at all and get mm-hmm. nothing back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The other problem can be, and this happened to a very large company in the United States, the decryption tool will take longer than restoring from a backup because, you know, it's badly written or it's not efficient or whatever. I remember reading about a company that paid like $15 million to get the decryption tool, and they figured that it would take longer for the decryption tool to decrypt all their data than to just restore from a straight backup and then rebuild from that backup's point in time.
But if they already had one of backup, why would they have to pay ransom?
Because they thought they could get their data quicker, because every hour that the company was not working would cost them a couple of $100,000.
But if they don't have access, the bad guy doesn't have access to your backup, mm-hmm. all you got to do is switch.
Yeah, but they didn't have like a real-time backup that they could switch to. They had a mm-hmm. weekly backup that they could restore. And
okay,
then
so they would lose a certain amount of information.
Exactly, and they figured out, hey, maybe if I restore yesterday's data by paying the ransom, I can minimize the loss. But then they figured out that the tool was so badly written that it would take them 2 weeks to restore the backup from, like, yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it would mm-hmm. be a lot quicker to just restore last week's backup and then pick it up from there. So they paid for nothing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And
so what is your best protection against that?
Assume that it's not a question of if.
Because it's nothing to do with passwords or anything, is it?
No, not at all. Usually, you know, there's other ways that they can break into your system by sending you phishing emails. I mean, for example, the MGM incident, I've read in some news articles that it was social engineering. What they did was they looked at LinkedIn profiles to see who had or had the chance to have access to the critical systems. So they called the help desk for MGM and said, hey, I'm so-and-so, and I can't get into my machine. Can you help me? And they helped the attacker get into the systems. Once they were there, they just did what's called a lateral move, where you have access to one computer, and then from the network, you take over other computers mm-hmm. and so on. Mm-hmm. They waited till the worst possible moment, and then they encrypted everything and held them hostage for millions of dollars. I mean, it doesn't always have to be millions of dollars. Sometimes it'll be, you know, like tens of thousands. I've seen cases here in Panama that are for tens of thousands. But one disturbing trend that I've seen is that you'll have companies saying that they will recover 100% of your data and so on. I haven't seen them, you know, anytime in the past couple of weeks, but I've heard of cases where these companies will say that they have the tools and the technology to do it, even though the encryption is such that decrypting it would take like a billion computers, dozens of years to get the information back by brute force, trying every single combination of digits and numbers to see if they can find the key. So being mathematically impossible to do this before the end of the universe, then the only way that they're doing this is by negotiating with the attackers, which, again, I'd rather they not, but if they do, I'd rather they be transparent about it. I've seen cases where, for example, you get a letter from the attacker saying, oh, we'll give you, for this amount of money, all your data back, and we'll give you a report on what the vulnerabilities were and what to do to, you know, avoid getting hit in the future in this same way. I mean, talk about a value add, right? you know, some ethical, unethical hackers or whatever. The thing is, you will eventually get hit in some way by a disaster. It could be ransomware, or it could be, I don't know, the ceiling on your apartment could cave in and just fall on top of your entire studio and have nothing, you know, to work with. I'm sure you could probably, and I'm just guessing, walk up to any computer store, get a laptop, and maybe you'd miss a day or two of your show, but I'm sure you could probably make it work in some way or another. You probably have a hard drive lying somewhere, or maybe a cloud drive with some of your music.
This is what I was going to say, is, well, all my music I have on both my machines, but I also have them on about three different portable drives.
And is any of them outside this studio?
No, they're in here, but they're not connected to anything.
Right, and that's great. But if you wanted to be a little bit extra careful, you could have one stored somewhere else, maybe in your office.
Oh, I mean, Dropbox.
Dropbox is a good thing.
You see, here's a point. I mean, if you're a big company, if you have something equivalent to Dropbox, anything I do on my computer, I have all the information, everything on my computer that's on Dropbox. So when I'm working, it's automatically, immediately uploaded and changed on Dropbox. Not only do I have the ability of, you know, it's like if I need a piece of music, or like when I'm working in the evenings on news, and I put it on my laptop, it's immediately on my other computers here in the studio. If that is sort of with Dropbox, the security there is, you know, okay, it is immediately, it's real time backup. And also, I have access going backwards as well. Why can't that just work?
That's always good, but you have to take into account that if somebody breaks into one of your computers, they might have the same kind of access to your computer that you have. And one of those alternatives is to, say, delete the folder from Dropbox and then delete it from the trash or the recycle bin or whatever and get rid of all the previous versions of what you have.
But if I do that, Dropbox is telling me straight away.
Yeah, but what if it tells the attacker straight away at 3 a.m. while you're not looking?
Well, yeah, that's the point.
Exactly. So it's always good to have something.
But what if my computer's off? I won't have it on at 3 o'clock in the morning.
But the account will. The account will always work 24/7. If they get access to your account, they
might. So they've got to get access to my Dropbox account.
Exactly. And it could be that they grab like a cookie off your browser or something like that. I mean, there are ways. So you have to, okay, assume. What if that breaks? Then I have something else, like an offline copy. You have offline copies of all your music and programs and whatever. But they're all stored in this very same place where we are right now. If you had a copy, say, at Christina's office, then you know you could go back to that in case of an emergency. It doesn't have to be so current. It could be done once or twice a year.
But if I have it here on an external drive and it's not connected to anything, it doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter unless there's a fire. Again, it's not only ransomware we're trying to fight against. It's any other type of major disaster that could cripple your operation, whatever that operation is.
It's also on Dropbox.
Exactly. But what if, you know, during...
If Dropbox had a fire.
Exactly. And you, at the same time. Something like the stars align. Security is not something that you could just, you know, fire and forget. It's something that is kind of cyclical in the sense that you work on every single detail and then you sit back and watch the whole thing and say, okay, how could I break it now? What would need to happen? Of course, there comes a point where the cost is too great. It's like, okay, so Amazon and Dropbox and OneDrive have to crash at the same time for me to have a problem. And that's okay. Whatever risk is good with you, as long as you're completely aware of it. The problem
is... But the same applies to anything, though. You could get in your car, you drive your car for years, you get in it one day, and the wheel falls off.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, this is life. I mean, you can't protect yourself 100% from everything.
Exactly. And the thing is, if the case is your car, for example, you are affected, maybe a dozen people that rely on you also are affected. But if you're a major corporation with, like, hundreds of employees, we're talking about the lives of maybe tens of thousands of people being affected. So it does, you know, become reasonable to think about it a little bit more and to be more careful.
What's the chance of actually being able to trace the...
Usually it's pretty low because the people that are doing the ransomware attacks and whatever are usually at least a bit technically sophisticated. It's less so now than before because of all these tools that allow this. But a lot of the times they will be using VPNs or they will be using other people's compromised machines to attack you. So it's not always easy and it's usually pretty much near impossible to trace these people. There have been cases like the FBI and Interpol and so on will trace things like, okay, so this is the Bitcoin wallet that they used to receive the money. But then they see that Bitcoin wallet was used to maybe purchase tickets to a concert. And then they start tying up all the loose ends and whatever. And they find these people. It has happened before. But unfortunately, it's not always easy. I know that, for example, the guys at Kaspersky and other security companies have been critical in helping all of these people get caught. And they also got together, there's Kaspersky, I know, Brett Callow and MZSoft, and there's a whole bunch of other very highly skilled professionals in that you can reach at a website called nomoreransom.org. If you have a ransomware attack, you can take the files that have been encrypted and submit them to a website, just as a sample. They'll have a look at it, and they'll tell you and come back with, okay, this is this type of ransomware, and this is what you can do, if you can do anything about it, in order to recover. For example, there are bits of ransomware out there that have flaws in their programming that allow mathematical shortcuts to cut that from like 13 billion years to maybe 13 days or 13 hours because of a flaw in their code. But there are others that are coded well enough that you can't really get your information back.
Does AI help in any of this?
It does in the sense that it's been part of the tool set that has been being used by developers to find these bugs easier and faster so that they can be fixed in a more timely way. I know that, for example, Microsoft made a lot of announcements at the beginning of the year on how their Copilot assistant, which is based on the same language models like ChatGPT and everything else, will be able to look at your code and make suggestions and improvements to make it more secure. Unfortunately, similar tools are also available to the other side who are trying to find these holes. Also, something else that we need to take into account, a lot of these artificial intelligence tools are being used to find flaws in software that shouldn't be used in the first place. I know of companies that are still, especially industrial equipment, using very, very old versions of Windows Server. I've seen Windows Server 2012, Windows Server 2008, even Windows Server 2003, which is 20 years old. And there hasn't been any security updates in over 10 years for that. If you're still using these systems, you need to take into account not only that you have to keep them more secure than the rest of the other systems, but also that you have to be able to recover, not if, when these systems go down in some way. So it's a topic that has to do mostly with awareness. I heard a very interesting quote from one of the guys at Kaspersky Labs. You know, it's fine to learn from your mistakes, but it's wiser to learn from other people's mistakes. So use that intelligence in order to improve your situation.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. We're going to take a quick music break, and we will be back.
I don't want to be alone tonight. It's pretty clear that I'm not over you. I'm still thinking about the things you do. So I don't want to be alone tonight, alone tonight, alone tonight. Can you fight the fight? I need somebody who can take control.
That is Sam Smith with Normani there, Dancing with a Stranger. We are 9 minutes away from the top of the hour, 9 o'clock. If you missed the news today, don't forget it. We do have it again for you at 9 this morning. And if you've been following the GPS about the, well, the learning in Ireland, going over there, well, we're going to be covering that in the last hour. Right now, though, we're with Dr. Computer, Alex Newman. I'm still somewhat in it, because that's an iPhone, is it?
Yes.
Have you been struck by lightning yet? Or?
Well, this one still works on lightning because it's the old one, but yeah.
The new one?
No, the new one, in a nutshell, it's got a slightly better camera. It's got a slightly better processor. It's got a slightly better screen. It's got slightly better specifications. And you can use it with USB-C using the same USB standard that's been standard for about 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm. They've caught up at last.
But if you pay an extra for the Pro or the Pro Max, you can get USB-C 3.0, like the one that's only 5 years old at this moment in time. But if you still want to use your lightning cables and adapters and dongles and so on, they'll sell you a dongle for your dongles for $30.
Well, that's really good value.
Yeah.
Most people are using USB-C anyway, which, you know. I mean, I've got the 23 Ultra, which has been basically, since it came out, the benchmark. And I've already seen now the 15 and the S23. We're not even talking about the S24, which is coming out. And they still don't reckon that Apple have got there. I mean, the I must admit, the camera on this thing is absolutely spot on. It's amazing.
I had a chance to play with it for a couple of days, took some photos in Casco Viejo and so on. I mean, it's amazing. The camera quality on the S23 is really amazing. I don't think I've seen anything better so far. I've heard that the Huawei 60 has a better camera, but I haven't tried it yet. But, yeah, that's probably the best camera I've tried.
I mean, I think Huawei are up there, but, of course, Huawei is suffering from the same problem that they have ever since they can't use Android.
Yeah.
And they've just brought out, their own processor as well, which they're putting into, not into the phones, per se, at the moment, but for surveillance cameras, things like that, which
it's the Kirin 980S or something like that.
So, I mean, the only thing I think that Apple haven't changed their price point. Their prices are pretty much the same as it is for the 14. But aren't we getting to a stage now, you know, they're still looking the same. One is a bit squarer than the other, and I think Apple are now bringing out titanium. When are we going to see the next innovation of the hardware as opposed to the software?
That depends.
I want one of those with this acrylic screen that you can see through.
Well, the thing about that is, you know, cockroaches and sharks haven't changed much in a couple of million years. Because
there's nothing to evolve to.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, these phones have evolved from something the size of a shoebox to something that's just a dark glass slate, and unless somebody right now, who probably is in high school, thinks of a better way to do it, we're probably going to have more of about the same. There are exceptions. For example, large format phones like the Note created a whole niche for that. There's foldable phones. Everybody and their uncle is now making, you know, foldable phones. Let's see what that comes out, you know, in a couple of years, like the Note, or if it goes out the way, like, you know, 3D TVs or whatever. I'm thinking there might be a niche for that, people who actually need something bigger and better. But just like netbooks evolved into really thin, you know, computers eventually, I think we might be seeing something more of an evolution, like I think it was Lenovo that came out with like a foldable laptop, which becomes like a 17-inch screen if you completely unfold it. But if you fold it slightly, you get a touch keyboard and whatever, but you can then slip on a regular keyboard on top and use it like a laptop, but then turn it over and use it like a large screen TV with a regular keyboard and mouse. Something along the lines of that might actually hit the spot, because at least for my taste, a foldable phone, when it unfolds, it becomes a tiny tablet as opposed to like
a big phone.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it might go that way, where you will have, unless we get foldable phones that fold in four instead of two halves or whatever, in quarters. Something like George Jetson's car, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Just opens up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then folds up into a briefcase or something like that.
Now, when you're talking about, because now we don't buy a phone per se, because we don't, you make calls or whatever, that's irrelevant these days. So much attention is paid to the cameras. I mean, that's perhaps one of the things, isn't it? And you know, they have got now to the level of a professional mm-hmm. camera. Mm-hmm. When you go to the pro mode, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Where's that going to stop? Because this one, I mean, this has a 10 times optical zoom, mm-hmm. which is really, really good. The other big advantage I found is that if you use it with the 200 megapixel mm-hmm. camera, the detail that you can pick out, that's the whole idea. It's not just to take, you know, photographs for some, but it's in order for you to take pieces out of that photograph that you might want or you might want to use. And I took a picture last night with this, sure, the nighttime, obviously went automatically nighttime mode. Clarity is incredible. I just noticed when I was looking at it mm-hmm. because I was shooting out over the hotel, the Pytherean mm-hmm. Hotel. If you look at the picture, see that, that it's that. But if you zoom in, and this isn't with the 200 megapixel, mm-hmm. there's a gentleman in his gym jams watching TV in his hotel room. I mean, that to me, for a nighttime shot, is incredible.
Yeah, especially with, you know, when you have to take into account things like camera shake and
exactly.
the whole mist of the air, the sea air and whatever, it always affects visibility and so on. I mean, you have to take into account there's a lot of artificial intelligence.
Oh, absolutely. No, that's what's doing it. It's the software, not so much the hardware.
Reminds me of what happens with, I think you have a Sony camera that does something like that. That you take a picture, but it actually takes like 9 or 10 of mm-hmm, them mm-hmm. and then averages out from the noise. So you can take really low ISO pictures, even in the dark, mm-hmm. and not get all that graininess that sometimes comes with that. So, yeah, there's a lot of developments in that regard, and we're getting better cameras every year. But do we really need every year? I mean, people.
No, I think you've got to have a love for photography. You've got to be able to, you know, not just take snapshots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I use a camera, I mean, I'm not a professional camera user by any chance,
mm-hmm.
but when I look at a picture, I always try and find the unusual angle of which to take it. But if you're mm-hmm. just taking family pictures and mm-hmm. and pictures of your lunch, you're probably not going to need that. And that's what you're paying for.
Thank you.
Okay. Just take
nice
a picture.
Little picture.
Anyway, Alex, we've got to wrap it up for this morning. Needless to say, it's great to have you with us back in the studio. Hope you've
great to be here.
Come back. Are you got any travel plans coming up again?
I sincerely hope not.
A year or so ago, you would have.
I'm traveled out, and I have so much to do in the office.
All right. Well, we'll let you get on. Dr. Computer Alex Newman with us here this morning. On The Breakfast Show, still plenty to come as we go through till 10 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3. Cool FM, the best place to be in the mornings.
Have you ever dreamed of studying and working abroad? How does Ireland sound? Don't miss Global Possibility Studies Educational Fair on September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. You'll be able to meet 5 of the most renowned Irish universities and learn about their bachelor and master degrees. Get to know Ireland's flexible immigration laws, financing opportunities, and how to get your full-time work permit for 2 years after graduation in the Emerald Isle. Don't forget to visit the fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies and find out about all learning opportunities in Ireland.
La Línea 3 beneficiará a una población de más de 500.000 habitantes de la provincia de Panamá Oeste. Con el sistema monorriel, atenderá una demanda inicial de 160.000 usuarios.
Hey, Jerry with a G, and I with a J. If it's Jerry with a G, then you got it, okay.
us to choose. Still say he's better than coffee, but tell it to my double espresso. Michael says he's way too early, but the breakfast show is also. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Hey, Cherry with a G, and I with a J. If it's Cherry with a G, then you got it okay.
Do enjoy that one. You know why? Actually, because that's the all-year version of Driving Home for Christmas. You know that, don't you? Josephine from Chris Rea. And I was just saying to Yasmin, by the way, good morning, Yas.
Hello, good morning. Happy Thursday.
It's been a busy day, isn't it? It's been a busy couple of days, isn't it?
Oh, yes, the whole week.
Yeah. Time for a lie down, I think.
Not yet. Maybe on Sunday.
Yes.
But there we go, Josephine, Chris Rea, we were just saying, weren't we, that's driving home for Christmas,
exactly,
but we can play it all year. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I always start our Christmas music with a mix I did, starting with Josephine and going into driving home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be long, will it?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
It's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the good lady, she's there in San Diego having a break with her family, and she comes back next Thursday,
mm-hmm.
and then the next week we're in October.
Oh, yes.
Scary. Where's the week? Where's the year gone?
And I hope she already got the Christmas presents for everybody in San Diego.
Yes. In fact, so we were chatting on WhatsApp yesterday, and she went to Barnes & Noble's.
Oh, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
And I love that store.
Oh, I love Barnes & Noble's. You know, when I used to go to Boston a lot,
mm-hmm.
in the Prudential Center, the two places I would go,
mm-hmm.
Barnes & Noble's, and I would go to the Microsoft store.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went last time, which was, I think, about a year or so ago,
mm-hmm.
Barnes & Noble's have gone. I had to go to one of these help desks and said, where's Barnes & Noble's?
Yeah, yeah.
They said, no, they've gone.
Uh-huh.
And you can spend hours in there. Mm-hmm. They've got everything.
Exactly.
And they've got a Starbucks in there.
Exactly.
And they don't mind you taking their books and sitting down and reading them.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't spill coffee on them. yeah, no, it's a wonderful place to go.
Yeah.
They've gone. And so at the Microsoft store.
Oh, yeah?
Mm. I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't stay there very long. But, yeah, Barnes. So, anyway, Christina told me she bought a book.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, she was happy. It only cost $10. And I said, well, what's it called?
Mm-hmm.
And she sent me a picture of it. It's called Mafia. It's the story of the Mafia. Is this what we're going to look forward to when we come back?
Okay.
Are we going to, you know, when she's, I think, you know, because she wants to retire fairly soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I said, what's this, what we're going to be doing after the retirement? Oh, you've got to laugh, haven't you?
Yeah.
So, anyway, how was the, because you went off to buy a car yesterday, didn't you?
A car? No.
I thought you went to GAC.
Oh, yes. But I wanted to buy paintings.
And how was it?
Oh, wow. That was so exciting because that was my first time in a real auction.
Oh,
you know?
Really? Yeah.
I've seen them just in the movies. And it's very exciting. Yeah. So I really enjoy it. And I had to work, of course. I had to take photos and videos and everything.
Uh-huh.
And yesterday was just the opening of the auction.
Right.
And just yesterday was the... It was a live auction, I mean, with everybody.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Starting today, it's going to be just virtual.
It's just virtual now?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But it was very nice. Beautiful paintings, a lot of people there. And, you know, this is a great event. I really love it.
Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I used to go, when I was living in London, I used to go to Camden. And they had some auction houses there. And they'd sell all sort of anything, really, antiques, all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to love going to the auction, but the thing is, I'm not a good loser.
No?
No. Hmm. So I would buy shit that I didn't really need. How dare you try and outbid me? Yeah, that was a mistake. What happens when you're over-competitive, you know? But I did get some good stuff occasionally, but a lot of it was stuff I didn't really need.
Yeah, and in this case, you know, it's just to support the foundation.
So oh, no, absolutely.
It's a good,
no, absolutely.
Good cause. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's great that it's all artists. There were 106 paintings donated by
wow,
artists.
Yeah.
International Excellent. And national
mm-hmm.
artists.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's amazing.
And were they all sold?
Yesterday was just 40
okay,
paintings.
But then they're going to be doing it virtually now.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's what's left over from last night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Excellent.
Yes.
And what are you doing today?
Today is the big party of G-Shock at night.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be there. And Alex just told me he's going to be there too. So
oh, okay. Well, tell him. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I can't make it because I'm going to an art exhibition.
Yes, I already told them.
Oh, mm-hmm. okay, yes. So it's not too far from home either. But mm-hmm. you know, I, one of the things, I love the work of, it's three artists, Insano, Kami Type,
mm-hmm.
And WTGS. Oh, WTGS.
Mm-hmm.
But it's sort of like modern art.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I love Insano's work.
Yes, the colors are
It's sort of like his colors are, well, I don't know how you would describe it, they're flat, aren't they? They're mm-hmm. not sort of all brush strokes, and yes. I think they look brilliant.
Yes, yes.
So, I don't know if I can ever afford one.
And the other thing I was thinking last night is that we don't have walls empty at home.
No, we don't here. That's another problem. Yes. Yeah, that's another problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've got some great pictures to go up.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll have to move then.
Exactly.
I need more walls, but I've got to move. And we've got a guest coming in soon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's almost here.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we'll take another piece of music. We'll be back together tomorrow because it's WWW.
Mm-hmm.
As well as FFF mm-hmm. on a Friday. You have what? WWW too.
Mm-hmm.
WWW, not two. So we've got What, Where and When with mm-hmm. Yasmin tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
And hopefully we'll have time for a couple of people born on tomorrow's day in music.
Oh, yes, of course.
You mm-hmm. like Bette Midler?
Mm-hmm. I know, sorry. Remember, I have the event at the air show.
Oh, right.
So I won't be here.
You're leaving me on my own.
Remember, these people from Insano are coming tomorrow.
Yeah, they're coming. The mm-hmm. artists are coming tomorrow, yes. Mm-hmm.
They're going to replace me.
Who's going to replace me?
But don't forget, on Instagram, I'm going to put all the events for this weekend.
Oh, okay.
So everybody
all
can
right.
go there.
So, okay, that's right, because we've got the artist coming in the last hour.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a substitute for you.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then. So you're not coming in at all tomorrow?
No. Hmm. I'm coming in the morning, the first 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can try and do a bit of what, where and when then, can't we?
Oh, yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, we'll see if we can squeeze you in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. See you tomorrow, then.
Sure, see you tomorrow.
By the way, I was saying, do you like Bette Midler?
Oh, yes.
From a distance?
Oh, yes.
From a distance, the world looks blue, and the snow-capped mountains white. From a distance, the ocean meets the stream, and the eagle takes to flight. Even
In a row on The Breakfast Show.
I'm so in love with you.
of what I
some great ballads all together. We started off, as I mentioned, with Bette Midler and From a Distance, followed on Aretha Franklin and Call Me, and last but not least, great track, Al Green and I'm So In Love With You. Talking of that, good morning to Christina. Yes, the good lady, she's over there in San Diego, dropped me a little note just now. So go out and find yourself something exciting to do, you're on vacation. Right, I tell you what, one more. I know our guest is making her way, and we won't have too much time, so I'll probably fade down when she arrives in the studio. But this is Jose Jose, the Principe de Canción. Jose Jose and Christy Tari Gris.
La lluvia de esta triste tarde golpea en mi ventana. Las ganas de volver a ser feliz me hacen pensar en ti. Momentos que a tu lado yo viví pasan en caravana. Detalles que jamás podré olvidar, que tuve y que perdí. La lluvia día de esta triste tarde gris, invita a recordarte las ganas de tenerte y no poder, me dan pena de mí. La lluvia continúa y yo pensando en ti. Llueve y estoy sin tu amor, sin poder abrazarte. Llueve y no puedo sentir el calor de tu piel. Llueve y no puedo evitar el querer recordarte, el pensar en amarte. Si pudiera otra vez. Esta triste tarde gris invita a recordarte las ganas de tenerte y no poder, me dan pena de mí. La lluvia continúa y yo pensando en ti. Y estoy sin tu amor, sin poder abrazarte. Llueve y no puedo sentir el calor de tu piel. Llueve y no puedo evitar el querer recordarte, el pensar en amarte. Si pudiera otra vez. La lluvia de esta triste tarde gris invita a recordarte las ganas de tenerte y no poder, me dan pena de mí. La lluvia continúa y yo pensando en ti.
Behind on Blue Bayou,
again. What a beautiful voice she's got, and a great interpretation of a beautiful song as well, originally by Roy Orbison. Lou Bayou, that's what it's called. We're still waiting for our guest here in the studio. In fact, we're almost sort of running out of time because we've only got 9 minutes left this morning. So by the time our guest gets in and settles down, it's going to be a little bit late. We'll chat to her when she comes in. It may be better perhaps do something next week when we cover it properly, but at least we can tell you what's going on when she gets here. We're going to take a bit of Fleetwood Mac again and say once she arrives, we'll take this down and get her on air. Paper Doll is called. There we go, Fleetwood Mac and Paper Doll, and Felicianis, good morning.
Good morning, Eric. Thank you so much for the space here.
No, you're more than welcome. It's not easy to get it, and of course, but you didn't bring a car, did you?
I did bring a car, yes.
Ah, you did yes. What I suggest most people do, and that's go to Cologne, leave the car there, get the train back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I should probably have done that.
Anyway, look, lovely to have you with us. I'm glad you made it. What I think we're going to do is we'll just talk briefly today about the event, what people can expect, and then we'll sort out something for next week when we can spend a little bit more time, because it's not until the 29th of September.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. The fair is on the 29th of September, and well, just to talk briefly about mm-hmm. what it is about and what we are. We are, you know, Global Possibility Studies is an educational agency, Panamanian educational agency.
Oh, okay.
With
oh, really?
Offices,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, with offices here in Panama, of course, in Dublin, Ireland, mm-hmm. and also in Santiago de Chile. So we have been expanding.
So you're actually in Ireland?
Yes.
Well,
yes. There is where I live.
Really?
Yes,
you live in Ireland?
I do live in Dublin.
Really at all, no.
It's a lovely country, you
it
know.
It is a beautiful country.
It's amazing, and the opportunities in the education sector that Ireland provides to Latin American students is just fantastic. Mm-hmm. It's amazing what the government does, and all the permits and the opportunities of growing professionally for Latin Americans in the countries, because there is a program, and probably next week we can speak deeper about but Ireland allows all the students to work while they are studying.
And I saw also, I think you can get a two-year extension so you can stay after you finish. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. Yeah. They have a stay-back program, which is amazing. And it is what we are actually promoting in this occasion, because for the very first time in life, education in Ireland, which is the part of the education in the Irish government, is coming to Panama next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be quite some event.
It's going to be a brilliant event, because it's not only education in Ireland coming to Panama for the very first time, but also five of the most famous universities are joining us.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity College, you have probably heard about it.
Mm-hmm.
I am
sure
you
absolutely.
Have. Trinity College Dublin is very famous, nearly 500 years of existing. And Griffith College, University of Galway, TU Dublin, and National College of Ireland are the five institutions that will be joining us for the educational fair, which is going to take place next Friday, the 29th of September, in the hotel, the Decapolis Hotel, from 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And we are going to be talking about everything, Gary, things, migration, how is the immigration process to go to Ireland, very easy to Panamanians and to many other nationalities, because Panamanians and most of the Latin American countries do not need visa to enter to Ireland.
No. That's right. Because this is Ireland as opposed to Northern Ireland, isn't it? That's it.
So two different countries.
Exactly.
Yes.
So this isn't part of the
UK.
The UK. This is totally independent and part of the EU, the European Union.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now it is the only English-speaking country after the Brexit, that is part of the European Union. And the job market is fantastic because most of the international, the multinational companies are based in Ireland, and from Ireland they see other markets all around Europe.
Absolutely.
And this is very good for people that want to study a master's degree. They can do the master's degrees, with prices are surprisingly very good. We can talk next week about that, or in the fair. I invite the audience to join us in the fair.
Just briefly and quickly, because if people are listening and say, oh, yeah, you know, I want to go and learn Irish at all.
English.
That's the only thing I can say is at all. A bit of an Irish accent. But seriously, what do the potential applicants need to have qualification-wise to apply to the universities?
Right. Well, it will depend on the masters, the type of masters they want to study, right? What we do as educational agents, as Global Possibility Studies, is that we sit down with the student. Every student is a different case. And we organize all the papers they have to present to the university.
Okay.
We help them through the application. If they need to improve a little bit their English or to learn English from zero, we also help them through that process.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, it's from end to end. One-stop shop, we call it. Yes, because the student comes to us and we evaluate many different aspects in life, of course. Budget.
Right.
Time. Program. Destinies. Besides Ireland, we also offer Germany and Australia and New Zealand, many other countries. And it depends. Every single case is different. So we sit down individually and we organize their academic life, pretty much.
I think that's great. I wish somebody had authorized mine. Listen, unfortunately, we've got to go. because I've got to wrap up the program, but we will sort something out, because I'm interested also finding out more about what you do, because like you said, it's not just this particular one. You can sort of help students all over the place.
Yes.
So let's talk about that more next week, and we'll get Yasmin to liaise and sort out a day that's convenient, and we'll be able to tell people more about it. So,
absolutely. I will be more than happy to do that. And also, since as I said before, we have the office here in Panama, Panama City, in El Carmen.
Oh, okay.
So the number of the office is 390-9488 for those that are interested in register themselves to attend to the fair next week, or want to get in touch with any of our consultants in the office.
All right. Okay, well, we're putting out your ad all the time, so we're going to finish up the program with your ad, and then we're going to wrap it up for David. We'll see you next week, because I'm very interested in your company.
It's amazing. It's a life-changing.
Mm-hmm.
Or what we do is life-changing.
There we go.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, that sounds good, and we'll find out more next week. Now, again, is your name, it still sounds Italian.
It's not Italian.
Oh, okay, that's why I could pronounce it, because we've had Italian people in here this week, and it's been a real... it's not been easy. Priscianis.
There we go,
you see. Palmer. Hey, look, lovely to have you with us. We'll talk to you again next week. And as I said, we're going to have to wrap things up. Hold on, Isaac, I'll be with you in a minute. But as I said, we will... finalize with this.
Do you want to study and work abroad but don't know where? Global Possibility Studies and Education Ireland have the perfect opportunity for you in their educational fair this September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel. Get to know everything about their programs, financing opportunities, and interact with the representatives of 5 of the most renowned universities in Ireland. Come to the fair and learn how to apply to a postgraduate degree with the possibility of obtaining your full-time work permit for 2 years. This September 29th in the Decapolis Hotel at 6:30 p.m. Limited availability. RSVP at info@gpstudies.com. Follow them on Instagram at Global Possibility Studies.
And we'll be putting a little link on our website today as well. So once again, big thanks to Priscianis. She'll be with us next week. We'll be able to talk more about that. We'll try and see if we can do it perhaps earlier in the week as well. So there's plenty of time before Friday when the event will be. Priscianis, once again, thank you very much for being with us. And also big thanks this morning to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, who was with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Ingrid for our everyday story of country folk. Yasmin doing all our production work, bookings, etc., etc., etc. She's going to be with us for a couple of hours tomorrow morning, so we'll hopefully do a little bit of what, where and when. And perhaps a couple of, well, one or two people born on that day in music. And also thanks to my co-producer Neil over there in the United Kingdom. I chatted with him on the phone. You see, he's doing okay. And to Isaac at Cool FM and the boys and girls who keep us up and running. To you, our listeners, advertisers and sponsors, thank you so very much for being with us on The Breakfast Show. Back with you tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. Whatever it is you're doing between now and then, do it carefully, all right? I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. From me, Jerry D. Till then. Ta-ta. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Quiroz, co-producer Neil Danby.